Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would speak to us. Last week, we studied about duty, and we brought a few different thoughts that I want to recap just a few things here real quick. Webster says duty, part of what they say is that which a person owes to another, that which a person is bound by any natural, moral, or legal obligation to pay, do, or perform. So we all know we have duties in life, don't we? The scripture tells us, and we read this last week, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. We read in Mark 12, where it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You know, we all have a responsibility first to our own soul, don't we? We have a responsibility that God has given to us when he breathed life in the soul. When he breathed into our bodies the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, at that point, there became a mind, there became duties, there, and God told us right away, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And you know, this morning, I want to just bring some thoughts here that maybe the Lord would inspire us to live in a way that is does our duty well. We have a duty, but if we only do it out of obligation and duty, it's not going to be done well. But if we do it with a whole heart and mind and strength, then it becomes something alive and well and inspiring and enjoyable and all of those things. I want to read you a little story first. It said, this is a little story of a 15-year-old girl. This was in 1881. Kate was 15 on the night of July 6, 1881, when a big rainstorm hit near Honey Creek in the Des Moines River Valley in Iowa. On that night, Kate was up late and heard a work locomotive tumble off the Honey Creek Bridge into the water. Kate's father, who had died in 1878, about 3 years before, had been a section man for the Chicago and Northwestern Railroad, so Kate understood railroad operations. Risking her life, Kate made her way across the broken parts of the bridge in the storm and the dark. The lantern she was carrying blew out, and she could do nothing for the train crew of the locomotive that now was at the mercy of the waters below. Instead, she hurried on to the Moingona Depot because she knew the Midnight Limited, a passenger train full of passengers, was on its way. Kate arrived at the depot in time for the agent to flag down the train. Many lives were saved by the girl who had crawled across the broken bridge to reach the depot. Newspapers across the country wrote about the brave girl, and donations came in to pay off the family mortgage. Kate, who never married, tried college and then teaching for a while, but neither suited her. In 1903, the Chicago and Northwestern made her the station agent in Moingona, where she worked until she died in 1912. Because the rail line getting to Moingona was steep and had many curves, additional locomotives had to be put on trains when they came through the area to help push the trains out of the Des Moines River Valley. A new Boone Viaduct and main line were built north of Moingona that bypassed the hills and curbs, enabling trains to operate more efficiently. The new bridge was named for Kate Shelley to honor her heroic efforts on that stormy night on July 6, 1881. Now, I want to ask us a question. I hope we understood the story. There was a big rainstorm. The bridge, some way, a work locomotive came through and went off into the water. And so the bridge was somehow broken down by that storm. And this little young girl heard it, 15 years old. But she knew that there was a passenger train coming. She crawled across that bridge, what was left of it, and made her way in the dark and went to the train station on the other side and told them what happened so they could flag that train down. Now, I don't know how far she had to walk, but it had to be quite a ways because they had to flag the train down before it got to this point. 2 miles, okay, I was thinking that, 2 or 3, but you know, this morning, did Kate have an obligation to do what she did? Would you say Kate had an obligation? I'm just asking. She risked her life to crawl across that bridge. She could have went back to bed and said, well, God have mercy. Couldn't she? But she didn't. She heard her duty loud and clear, and she stepped up to it. It was dark, perhaps raining. It was hard. I hesitate to walk across a wide railroad bridge, even if I know there's no trains coming. If I knew that, I wouldn't want to do that. I just wouldn't like that idea. But you know what? She heard duty, and she decided, I'm going to save those people on that train. I want to read a few scriptures to us this morning, because folks, it's not just other people's soul, it's our own soul that we save. And 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth. Could she have said, oh, I'm 15 years old. I have no business going across that. It's raining. The bridge may be broken out. I don't know what's going to be there. I don't know if I can get across. I'm scared to death. And she probably was. But she heard duty call. Now, I want to encourage every age group here this morning. And especially, Paul is speaking to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, don't let anyone despise the fact that you're young and you think that you can't do what needs to be done. Now, that doesn't mean we become independent and arrogant. It means that we step up to our duty, doesn't it? And so I want to encourage the 15-year-olds and the 10-year-olds and the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-old and every mother and father in here, step up to the plate. Your lantern goes out. You keep crawling. Because all you have to do is get to the next step. I've just got to get one more inch. I've got to get across this thing. Do you know that we have duties that call? And there are people that are eternity bound. That lies within our scope to possibly be their salvation. I know that God saves them, but I want to tell you something. A mother and father, a brother, a sister, people can lead people a long ways away, can't they? And maybe their dear ones won't be saved. They already have a chance. I know God's going to deal with them, but I want to tell you, we can have a big influence on the salvation of people. And I want to encourage us this morning to not let any man despise our situation. Don't let the devil despise your situation. I have found in talking and working with people that the devil will use 10,000 reasons to say you can't. He'll use 10,000 reasons to say you can't live for the Lord. He'll use 10,000 reasons to keep you from being blessed, won't he? But he told Timothy, he said, don't let anyone despise your youth, Timothy, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, you be a good example in your Christian life. And listen to what he goes on to say here in that. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You know what doctrine is? It's what we believe and teach, isn't it? Give attendance to those things. Learn. What does the Bible say about it? I encourage you to not just be, well, whatever so-and-so said. Oh, no. That may have an influence on us, and it should. But I want to tell you, people that are spiritual, that know the Lord, they have an influence on me. But I want to tell you what I want to see. I want to understand what the Word of God says. And so he told Timothy, he said, you give attendance to the things we teach and believe, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Do you know what? I believe God wants to give something to every one of us, to have within us, to bless others. And he told Timothy, he said, don't neglect that gift. Don't let it become dormant. Don't let the 10,000 reasons stop you from doing what you know God has upon your life. Do you know this morning God has something for your life? When I see these young ones start teaching Sunday school and I see the Lord blessing their life and all of, you know what I say? Oh, thank God. The Lord is working in the natural way the Lord works. Do you know that's the way it works? And do you know you grow from that and the Lord works with you from that? Oh, this morning, I want to encourage us today that the Lord is wanting us to not let the 10,000 foes that arise keep us from our prize. He doesn't want it to keep us from being the example the Lord wants us to be. He says here, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. He says, think about them. You know what meditate means? It's just like a cow that begins to eat their stuff and they burp it up again and they go over it again and they roll it over and they think about it. Well, I want to tell you, that might seem kind of gross, but think about it. Think about the Word. Rethink it. Study it. Let it sink down in your heart and your mind. And let it make you grow, because that's the part that you can't do anything about. You can't make yourself grow. But you can study the Word. You can meditate upon it. You can do the little things that you believe God wants you to do. You can be there when the Lord wants you there, in the smallest of places, working maybe with your hands where nobody sees it. I want to tell you, He'll reward you openly. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see what that, see, we said to, from the outset, we have a soul that we have to take care of first. But folks, there's people that we have influence on. Isn't there? Is there anyone here that doesn't have an influence on someone else? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You have an influence on me. Just you being here has an influence. Be diligent and studious. It brings a profit, folks, that saves not only ourselves. And so this morning, I just want to bring this little simple message. We might be 15, or we might be afflicted, or we might have a dozen or a thousand other reasons, or we might be busy, or we might be in the midstream of life, and everything about us seems a horror. Well, I want to tell you something. In those times, take time to live for the Lord. Take time to feed your soul. Take time to study the Word. If you're too busy or too taken up to study the Word and to have prayer, you're too busy. Is that okay? Now, I know that there might be a day that we have to run off, and the day is so full that it crams its way. But I will tell you, you better make sure that you feed your soul as well as your body. Pretty sure you take the time to feed your body. Most of us do. If we're going to save ourselves and others, folks, we're going to have a single heart for the things of the Lord. Is that all right? We're going to have a single heart. Lord, I only want one thing, and that is to do your will. Is that asking too much? It's not me asking you. It's what the Lord commanded. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your affections, with all your soul, with all your strength and your might, with everything. And you know what? When we do that, do we give up life? No, life becomes what it's supposed to be. That's when the blessing of the Lord... Did you know that the Scripture says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich? Do we believe that this morning? Amen. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, folks. Now, if you get carnal mind and you think, oh, I'm going to have more money if I do this, that's what some preachers preach. I've heard them preach that way. I want to tell you something. If you want to be rich in life, give yourself to the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The Scripture tells us over in Matthew 6:6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, he says, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you know that doesn't mean we never pray openly? But there's a side of life that we serve the Lord when no one else is around. It's from our heart. We serve the Lord fully. We serve Him studiously. We serve Him with all that we have. We serve Him, Lord, I want your will to be done. I want to ask you something. Can you say that? No, I don't mean do you wish it to be done. Do you want it to be done strong enough that you really want the will of the Lord to be done completely in your life? It's scary to say that sometimes, isn't it? Because what if the will of the Lord would say I have to go to Africa? You know, I don't really want to leave my family. I mean, my big overall family. I don't like that. You know what? Whatever the Lord calls us to do, He's going to outfit us. And how many times does that really happen anyway? I don't know, but I will tell you, the Lord has a good way and a good plan. And He'll supply all that we need, and He'll enrich us by every forward step that we make. Now, we have to have faith to believe that, don't we? It's worth believing this morning. Oh, enter into your closet. Live for the Lord when no one else sees it. Be honest with people when no one else knows it. Be right with things when no one else knows it. Do your devotions when no one else knows it. Do you know that all of that will show? Because He rewards us openly. All this morning, the Lord bless us today. Saints, I love the work of the Lord. And I know that that's where the blessing is. Oh, let's all of us jump in there and give it all that we have. We're not asking for anything other than everything. That's all. Just give the Lord your heart. And we still have to work and make money, and we still have to save some, and we still have... You know, the Lord, He provides all of those things, doesn't He, that we need. That we have need of this morning. I want to read back here in Deuteronomy 11. and 26. Because these things that we've read, we've been talking about the blessing of the Lord. But I want to tell you, not everybody does it that way. And there's more to it than just the blessing of the Lord in life, isn't there? And so Deuteronomy says here, 11 and 26, there, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing there's some ifs, isn't there? There are some ifs. We must recognize that. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. Do you know this morning, as we said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. But there's a lot of people today, and the scriptures warn us that the days will be evil. That because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And I want to encourage us today that we don't let our love wax cold. Because he says, if you go out there and you give your love to other gods instead of me. He told these people back here, and I believe it's the same God. He said, I'm setting before you a blessing and a curse. We wonder, how could our world be in the situation it's in? How could we be to a place I don't understand? How could we get to the place that we as a society, as a whole, do not understand and comprehend and accept that the traditional, God-given words of marriage and life is what makes children well. It's what makes homes complete. And when you do it any other way, folks, you can't marry an animal and it be the same. You can't marry someone of the same sex and it be the same. You know why? Because God commanded it to be so. And I want to encourage us today, get these things down in your heart. Because how can people go out there and believe all of these things? There is a multitude of things. I'm scratching the surface. Hard to believe that would be scratching the surface. But I want to tell you, I'm scratching the surface this morning, aren't we? There is a multitude of things today that the world believes, and it's carrying it away into more and more dishonor and disgrace. And you find a society that's hardly able to carry on rightfully. It's hardly able to do the proper functions of life because so many are on drugs. Is that not true? You know why many times that happens? How could somebody give themselves drugs every day to escape life? And how could they go there? Well, I'll tell you one way. The scriptures tell us that they're blinded. The gods of this world, of pleasure, of lust, of all of those things, of self, of just everything self likes. Do you know that God gave a satisfying portion to all of self? Did you know that? He gives us food to eat, doesn't he? And when it's sufficient, it is very satisfying. You know, God gives us all of those things. He gives us the good things of life. But when we allow it to become lust, when we allow those pleasures that God gives us to become the center point of our life, and we lose the focus of God, pretty soon our eyes have become blinded. And I want to encourage us, recognize what happens. Their eyes are blinded. When people's eyes are blinded, they cannot see anymore. And so why would they say good is evil and evil is good? because their eyes are blinded, because they love darkness rather than light. But you see, we're into generations of this kind of thing, aren't we? We're into generations until people never knew the light to start with. And all they know is darkness, evil. And all they know is all the things that come with that. Full of trouble. Idolatry. So this morning, I know we think, well, yeah, there's a choice, isn't there? Yeah, there's a choice. Whether I go to heaven or hell, there is that choice, believe it or not. These things are eternal, aren't they? That's why they matter so much. If it were only in this life, it would be bad enough. But it's eternal. We are making eternal choices. Those eternal choices, you see, there's a train coming from the other way, and it has our children on it. And there's a train coming, and it has those that we love on it. And you know what? Our soul, too, is on a train. You know what? We must be saved. Some asked one time, I think they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? Well, you know, we have to repent, don't we? We have to be baptized, don't we? I want to encourage us, accept the whole of the gospel. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Understand the things we believe and teach. Because the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, does that mean you're not saved if you haven't been baptized? I don't believe so. The thief on the cross was saved as soon as he repented and spoke to the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. But I want to tell you something. If we don't go on to those things, shall we say we're fine? I want to encourage us today to let the Lord have His way in all things in our life. There's a train coming. And there's a track that's all derailed. And it derails all that hit it if they're not flagged down first. And there's an eternal night of damnation to people. Is that true? Now we would say, yes, Kate has she really does have a duty to go flag that train down. But then we don't flag our train down? We don't flag down when we know souls, maybe they're our own, maybe they're our children, and we know that they also are going to be derailed for eternity? Shall we not flag that one down? Shall we not take our duty? And our light seems to go out and we can't see where we're going, but we keep walking, don't we? We keep going. There are times like that. Did you know David spoke of those times? He said something about the shadow of death, didn't he? But did it stop him? Did he say that was the end of my road? Came the shadow of death, I backed out. I went back to the green pastures. No, folks, we have duties, don't we? We have duties to the souls of our children, to train them up in the way they should go. We have duties to one another. You know, we have duties to exhort one another and to help each other make it to heaven. Oh, the Lord, help us today. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Listen to the words of this little passage here, because they are powerful words. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Oh, this morning, folks, let's just decide in our life, you know what? I'm not putting it off. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm not going to allow life with its 10,000 things that would stop me. I will not allow it to keep me from my place in the Lord. I will cross that bridge. I will go in the night if I have to. I will risk my life if I have to, because I will perform my duty. Is that all right? Oh, listen. There is a blessing in the things of God. And as we see in the world all around us, you see, there is a curse when we turn away and we worship ourselves or other gods. And the world is full of self-worship, isn't it? It's called the lust of the flesh. Constantly, all the time, just fulfilling the lust of the flesh in the eyes. Deuteronomy 28 and 1. I'm going to read a little bit here to you, if you'll pardon me for the length of it. just remember that our life affects so many others. It's not only ourselves. It says, "And if it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken," this is Deuteronomy 28 and 1, "if thou shalt diligently hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now I have found, and I believe, that the Lord has promised us as Christians, he said, you're going to have persecution, didn't he? There's going to be some things, but I want to tell you, the blessing, I believe, is in some ways different than it was at this time. The Lord doesn't always promise to make us rich or whatever. But I will tell you, the same principles apply. And he promised to make us rich. He promised to give us in our soul a peace that passeth understanding. That doesn't mean we don't have to fight for it. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." I simply believe that when we are in the middle of the Lord's will, he blesses everything. Now, do you know that Paul, when he was in prison, the Lord was blessing him? You know that? You know where these 13 writings came, these books came from Paul? A lot of them came from prison, didn't it? The Lord was blessing him. I want to tell you, if we look only at the flesh, we're making a grave mistake. But if we will look at an eternal picture, and if we will decide, I want to serve the Lord, I want to make it there, and I will tell you, if we want the best choice possible for our children, we cannot make children be saved. But I always say it this way. We can lead them up pretty close to the cross. And we can make the cross look pretty. We can make it look good. Because it is good. It's a death to the flesh and a life in the Lord. And so, I want to encourage us today. We're not just talking about us. We're talking about the train. We're talking about our children. We want to give them the best chance possible. Live for the Lord and please Him well. And make Him number one and only. And make Him the only God that we serve. And I'll tell you, our children will have the best chance possible. "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And doesn't the Lord so often do that, even now? He often does that. He makes people very fruitful, even in this life. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You know curses are real. You know our world today is cursed. Do you know our world today worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator? Read Romans 1. You will find that the world is cursed today. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto, for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, wherefore thou hast forsaken me. And so this day, I want to charge us today, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I will tell you, when we do that, we will find a heavenly blessing that descends upon our lives that is unlike anything the world can offer this morning. Do we believe this today? I hope we do. I will tell you, I found it to be true. And so, there is something sweet from God that He wants to bless His people with. We see a world that is full. It is full. It has the wrath of God has been placed upon it, as it has chosen to murder little babies by the millions, as it has chosen to seek its lust and put God far from it and want to say, we're not a Christian nation anymore. You know what, folks? I accept that's probably true. But I will tell you something. God wants it to be different. And He wants it to start with you and me. And I urge the young to decide in your heart and mind. Because you see, when we start out, we make decisions about what directions we go. We can feed the flesh, or we can take God's way. And it's just like going out here. Folks, I can go to I-35 and I can decide which way I want to go. There is a division right there. One way goes to the south and the other goes to the north. And the outcome and where I go is very, very different. Do you know this morning? Decide in your heart and life that I don't want to be a part-time or casual Christian. I want to be one that has the full blessing that the Lord promised His people. Is that okay to want that? Oh, is it okay to want the blessing of the Lord? It maketh rich. I love that. Somebody was telling me the other day about some things that the Lord was working out for him. You know what I told him? The Lord is giving you the desire of your heart. You know what? Because they wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to do God's will. And now God's making it possible to do more than they could have asked or thought almost. Do you know that when our whole heart is to do God's will, it's no problem for Him to make a way for that. Go back there and look at Joseph's life, and you'll find what the Lord can do when He wants to. It's no problem for Him to turn and give you the desires of your heart. He wanted to serve the Lord with his whole heart. That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. Oh, he would have liked to have lived at home, but he served the Lord with all his heart. And I'll tell you what happened. The presence of God saw that. And he knew he had a faithful man at hand. And he used him in a wonderful way. All this morning, can we not see the glory, the beauty, the joys that God wants to put in our lives? Let's forsake the lust of the flesh. Now, don't think of that as a cliche, the lust of the flesh. Think of that for what it is. Giving myself to the flesh. The lust means strong desire. Read it. It can even be used in a good way. Strong desire. But I will tell you that very word, it tells us, set your desires on the things of the Lord, and He'll make sure that you have everything else that you need. Why do people make foolish decisions? Why do we see them do things and we recognize 5 years before their destruction, 10 years, 15 years, this is what will happen? You know why we know? Because we know the word of the Lord. The Lord's given us a little insight, hasn't He? And I want to tell you, there's some good things that will happen in our lives if we serve the Lord. Doesn't mean we won't have any hard places, I will tell you that. I want to read this song. I didn't look up the number of it, but Evening Light Song, it says, "My soul, be on thy guard." And the first verse says, "My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies." Is that true for you? I want to tell you something. You better believe it, it's true. Whether you feel it or not, He's pressing hard. And there will be times that He really presses hard. I've seen those times. And so have you if you've lived for the Lord a while. 10,000 foes arise. I want to encourage us today to make good, godly habits in our life. Folks, have family devotions at night. Have times where you pray together, husband and wife. Have family devotions that are meaningful. Spend time in that way. 10,000 foes arise, but I will tell you, when that threesome is there and the Lord and you and me, and we're working together, my wife and me, and the Lord's in it, those 10,000 foes don't have any chance as long as we keep it that way. They don't have any chance. Did you know that? As long as we keep it that way. Hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. You better believe it. Satan's going to tempt. And you get tired and you get a lot of things going. I want to tell you, been there, done that. Satan will be there too. Just like he was with Jesus when he was so worn and tired. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath. When our last breath, He'll take us up to His blessed abode. I believe that with all my heart. That's why I don't look at just the things of this life. But I look at those things that are unseen. And Paul said he counted these things but light afflictions. Folks, we have some decisions to make in our life, and you will make them. The very fact that we don't make a decision and keep going the way we're going is a decision. Do you know that? And so the Lord help us today. Oh, let's ask the Lord. Lord, put that burning down in my heart so that I'm more apt to pick this up than I am that thing that competes with this Bible. You know, the Lord wants us to keep that all in mind, doesn't He? Because if we don't watch out, We won't have time to read this at the end of the night when we're done with the news and everything else that we do. And all of our texting and all of our returns and all of our talking and all. Folks, we have to do this on purpose. We have to set it as my goal in life is to live for God with all my heart. And I'm going to do that by the grace of God. It's not something that can't be done. In fact, as we said already several times, the blessing of the Lord, what's it do? Maketh rich. It maketh rich, believe it. Y'all pray for me that I'll continue to walk with the Lord, that I'll have His thoughts in my heart and His words in our life. Let's pray one for another. We've got to make it to heaven, folks. All of us do. Let's work to help one another. Let's be here for one another. Pray for me.